Yo, 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 peoples, this is Tupac for sure, and you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits, and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. And today, we don't have a guest, but that was done on purpose because we figured, hey, let's go back to doing just something with me and you and give a break with the interviews. Sometimes it can get monotonous. We try to give y'all different stuff. And Jimmy had sent me this picture of a thing called the Seven Theory of a Wrestler, or Wrestler Seven Theory. How's it go?
Seven Wrestlers Theory. It's this was just something I thought you were going to be like, no.
So, I was close.
I mean, I'm appreciative that the fact that you didn't. So, yeah, I was looking on Twitter, and, you know, Twitter sometimes is negative and sometimes it's positive. Sometimes there's bad or annoying things on there. Sometimes there's positive things on there. And randomly, people will post things like these kind of polls or, you know, like these things that are, you know, kind of interesting, make you think a little bit. And I came across this, and there was a lot of people responding to it and putting theirs out there. And it's called the Seven Wrestlers Theory. And basically, it's broken down into seven different, you know, questions about what these wrestlers are. And, you know, we'll get more into that in the main part of the show. But when it came down to it,
it says it's a theory. What does this theory prove?
Yeah, it just, that's a great question, and I don't even know if that was that well thought out, but at the same time, you know, I guess Seven Wrestlers Theory is the seven wrestlers that, you know, make you feel this way, you know, but it'll be fun. And the way I love these is because I'm a fan with a little bit of foot in the business, and you're a wrestler who had a ton of foot in the business and a little bit of foot as a fan. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's always cool to kind of get your perspective with, you know, as a wrestler versus my perspective as a fan. So with that being said, you know, I just sent this to you, and I expected you fully to say, no, hell no. And you actually were open to it. So, you know, I think it'll be fun with that. And I appreciate that. And I just think it'll be something cool to break up. You know, like you said, you know, we love our guests, but also we really enjoy our topics. And, you know, I think it's fun to kind of break it up a little bit. So, you know, that being said, that's the reason why we're doing this topic today. So, yes.
History proves absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
No, okay, let's just say it proves, if you put enough thought into these, that you're a wrestling person.
But it proves that if you put enough thought into these, you can make a podcast episode.
Yeah.
That's the theory.
That's the theory behind it.
Yeah. But anyway, we recently had Dr. Tom on. We love that show. Thank you so much. Drake Younger was a great episode, a surprisingly great episode. And not to say that we expected to be bad with him. What I meant was we didn't know if the listenership would be there, or, you know, he
brought us some of his folks over.
The deathmatch people.
I hope you guys have stuck around.
Yeah.
He did some really good numbers for us.
Yeah, he really did. And then we brought you Dr. Tom, which is the exact opposite of Drake. But at the same time, both had a great career and foot in the WWE. And you know, he's a doctor, so maybe he can stitch Drake up. You know?
Yeah, patch him up.
We got to get those guys together. Anyway, yeah, man. So thank y'all so much. Hey, the numbers on the Twitter have grown. We're focusing on that right now, as well as YouTube. Of course, you got to subscribe to us on YouTube. The one thing I've noticed is that topics do well on YouTube, I think. You know, sometimes the interviews, you know, if you don't see them in person and stuff like that, sometimes people are a little slow to go on those. But I think topics do really well on YouTube as well. So I'm excited to see how things go. Again, at Live Wolfie D on all of them. If you ain't subscribed or followed yet, what's your deal?
Yeah, like, what's your deal, man? What's your deal?
Come close. Come close, real close. What's your deal?
What's your deal, man?
What's your deal?
Yeah. Let's take a break and let's find out what our deal is on these theories.
I love it. After these messages.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
And we are back with the seven wrestlers theory. And Jimmy, do you want to explain before we get started?
Sure. So it's seven questions.
You tried to before break, so let's see if you can really explain it now.
Really, really nail it home on this one. If we haven't lost you by now, thank you for sticking around with the seven wrestlers theory. So, okay, again, found it on Twitter, floating around social media. These are seven questions, and honestly, I'm going to put a scorecard out as we're promoting it. Obviously, if you've followed us on the Twitter, social media, you've already seen the image, and it's a scorecard. And what we would like you to do is also fill yours out as well and share it with us. Share it with the world. We would love to see your seven wrestler theory answers. So the first one is the one that made you fall in love with wrestling. Okay.
All right.
Number two is your newest favorite wrestler. Okay, so your most recent. We've kind of taken current affairs out of the show, but this will be a little touch of that.
It's a current affair!
And number three is the one that always makes you smile. Now, I think of it as you can smile differently, but I think somebody that just consistently either makes you laugh. Or, yeah, I mean, because, you know, if you're smiling through a whole match, you might have some medical issues we need to figure out. But there are times that everything makes you smile. So I'm thinking, you know, funny promos, that kind of thing. However you take it, Wolfie, that's up to you, you know. Yes. Number four is your comfort wrestler. So that's kind of a modern term that people use, like, you know, like The Office. Or Cheers is my comfort TV. I can watch it nonstop, 24/7, and it just something I can fall asleep to it. And if I wake up in the morning and it's still playing, I can catch it there. Again, it's just something that's a comfort. So your comfort wrestler. Yeah. Number five is the one you miss the most. Now, obviously, we really, you know, we recently lost Billy Graham. Some people may be that. Or, you know, in Wolfie's case, at these conventions, maybe it's Jamie.
Why was I thinking that at the same time? That's not I was thinking that at the same time.
And now number six is interesting because this one really means you care here. Is the one you'd protect with your whole life. Okay, that one is pretty good. And then the number seven is the one you're rooting for the most. And I would kind of like to modify that one in the one that you've really, like, really probably the ultimate wrestler for you, the one you've rooted for the most. I don't really want to put a current turn on that. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The one you've rooted for the most, the one you're absolutely a mark for. So anyway, that is our seven questions. Once again, fill your scorecard out. They are available at all of our social media platforms. And have fun with us. Post them with us and let's see what you got. But yeah, with that being said, Wolfie, start us off, brother, with number one, the one that made you fall in love with wrestling.
Okay, so narrowing that down to one, anybody that listens to me kind of knows my four.
Sure.
But I'm going to say it like, okay, so 82 is when I think I was introduced to wrestling.
Yeah.
The Fabulous Ones were a thing in my area. So I say they turned me on to it and made me really like it.
Yeah.
And also Hulk Hogan, you know, that was a thing around that time, you know, when he beat the Iron Sheik and all that and everything started going well. It was, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood. So I have to say that he played a part in my love of wrestling. But as we both know, when the Road Warriors came along, that changed the game for me and really made me, I had to see this. I had to watch it all the time, and I was hooked, and that was my favorites. And it's two people, but it's a one unit. So sure, my answer is the Road Warriors.
Man, obviously, I mean, that's a
question for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's funny is that that's not my answer, but I could argue that their Remco action figures
from Remco
is what made me fall in love with wrestling. That you know, like you said, you had the Layers, the Fabs, then Hulk Hogan. Obviously, that's probably very similar for most of our listeners. But the Remco Road Warrior action figures blew my mind. My brother and I, we got that in a little wrestling ring as a Christmas gift one year, and we got to split the figures. He took Animal, I took Hulk. I don't know why, but that was just always how it was from then on. And man, the Road Warriors, I would say that's a very popular answer there, but a very great answer. Man, there's no disagreeing on that one for sure. Yeah. You know, when you see those guys, they are made not only for action figures, but they're made for wrestling.
Yeah.
They're made for like rock and roll. I mean, like you said so many times, they're kind of the blending of Kiss and wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, Mad Max, totally. So, well, that's a good start, Wolfie D. I'm enjoying that. So, I got to say, probably around 85, 84, 85 is when I was first introduced to wrestling. It was at my Uncle Eddie's house. We were visiting with my cousin. Used to play out in the outside. Can you believe that? Kids used to play outside, people.
Hey, what?
I know. But we would play outside, and I got DDT'd in the creek one time and got my head cut. I won the title because they felt sorry for me.
In the creek.
Yeah, in the creek. Anyway, so I remember definitely loving the Road Warriors, but mine's a little different. And I even told in our interview with this person, I even told him that I made people call me this guy's name. And I was Jimmy, but I made people call me Ricky. And of course, Ricky Morton and the Rock and Roll Express, that's the team. And that's the guy that made me absolutely 100% fall in love with wrestling.
Yeah, so I can see that, man, from, you know, your where you lived and everything. And heck, you know, I told you the story of the first wrestler I ever like met in person outside of a wrestling arena, or maybe even the first period, was Ricky, because he was visiting someone and hanging out outside at my apartment complex when I was like, you know, 10 or some shit, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, Ricky in this area, in your area, has played a big part with a lot of people as far as loving wrestling. You heard Tom last week talk about, you know, how he, you know, not the only person to say it, but, you know, how Ricky was the best baby face there is, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people say Ricky Steamboat, but I still say Ricky Morton. But, man, you know, Ricky, it was so timely. I think what he had, especially as a kid, and what he had that the Road Warriors really didn't was he had that emotional connection with a lot of people.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, because the Road Warriors, you couldn't feel emotion for them selling because they didn't sell.
Yeah.
I mean, they did, but you know what I mean. But a different kind of selling. And they also, they had that where Ricky would kind of reach to the crowd and kind of give him that help me. And then yeah. I remember first seeing them wrestle live and I was just so happy. And yeah, I never got any Rock and Roll Express action figures, but I will say this, that I absolutely loved the Rock and Roll Express and Ricky Morton. And yeah, so that's my person who made me, or that's my team or my guy who made me fall in love with wrestling. So Anyway, so number two, Wolfie D, is your newest or most, the wording on this is so weird, but your most recent or current favorite wrestler.
I'm going with Rhea Ripley. I think that she has, like, I watched her Charlotte on the WrestleMania and I thought they stole the show. And that really solidified it for me is, for this chick being something special. And it's funny, you'd think that I'd probably have said a dude or something, but man, some of these chicks, man, they, not all of them, but some of them, man, are as good, if not better, as some of the guys, man. She's just, her presence is there, her look, she can work, and she'll only get better at that. And yeah. You know, when I first caught on to her, I'm like, okay, I got to see, can she talk? Because that's going to be the kicker. And, with the accent and everything, that's awesome. I do wish somebody would really dig in with her and find her a personality for her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Where
she's got some shit that she says, and it's very, it's for me, it's not 100% there yet.
But right.
Like I said, if somebody would dig into her, man, they've got to know they have a gold mine with her if they book her correctly and mold her correctly. But, man, people are like, God, she's so gross looking, man. If you see that girl without that black makeup on, and even with the black makeup on, I think she's attractive. But without it, man, that's a pretty girl, man. Just understand she's anybody that says she's ugly needs to wake up and go, hey, chicks don't necessarily dig Johnny Depp walking around looking like cracked teeth fucking Jack Sparrow. They him out of character. He's a very handsome man. Same thing with her. She's not necessarily walking around like that all the time, but whatever. Who cares what she does? She's good, man.
Totally. I told my brother, maybe I told you this, and it's not really fair to say this, and I don't mean it in any sort of disrespectful way, but if that Charlotte Rhea Ripley match done in the exact same way would have been two guys, they would be saying that was one of the greatest matches of all time. And so to give those girls that respect, I absolutely feel like that it was the very best matches of the entire WrestleMania of this year. So no question, good on them. I think she's awesome. She's got a cool vibe about her. I agree with you. I'd like to get that pushed a little further out. Let's see what she is or who she is. And she kind of got the China vibe, a lot more attractive, but you know what I'm saying. She's got the element about her to where she could punch a dude in the mouth and it would hurt, And
believe it that she could punch a dude in the mouth.
And she makes a great champion. I think she'll be a champion for a very long time. And I think when we're old and gray, we're tomorrow, they'll be talking about her in the record books for sure. So absolutely great pick on that one, Wolfie D. So my most recent or current or newest favorite wrestler is one that's caught a little bit of traction, and the only thing that I don't like is they don't seem to want to put the rocket fully on his back yet, and maybe they've got plans, but my guy is L.A. Knight. Now, some people see him as a Stone Cold Rock, or Rock Stone Cold, where he's got elements of the Rock and of Stone Cold, and that's true, but if they would listen to the crowd, that dude is getting over. That crowd, it's almost like an element of the Daniel Bryan deal where you know, the office isn't really seeing it as much, but the crowd is totally into him. And I think that comes from a natural, you know, a natural charisma. He's got the ability to talk. He's got a good look about him. He also has, you know, certain elements about him that he can work. He's been around a lot. So the only thing that I'm concerned about is that he is a little bit older. But at the same time, you know, if you've got a dude and he's like in the late 30s, you know, think about that as, okay, he hasn't been in the WWE up till this point, but he does have good experience and he is a good veteran. So instead of thinking like, okay, you know, we've got to treat him like a newcomer, I say treat him like he's been in Jim Crockett or he's been in USWA or he's been in or whatever, and put the rocket on him and see what he can do. Because to think that you have to totally push him every step of the way through the WWE system, I think it's going to take too long. You know what I mean? And they may make some missteps. I think right now, put the rocket on his back, see how it does. You know?
Yeah.
What do you think about him?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen enough of his stuff, I feel like, to give you a educated opinion on that.
Sure.
I honestly just haven't, man. I don't know that I know who the dude, I kind of know what he looks like, but I just don't have enough in my head on him to be able to comment. I apologize for that. But that's your choice. I mean, I've heard of him. I know what the deal is. So obviously he's doing something right.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think you would enjoy, you know, enjoy what he offers. So yeah, anyway.
Know what I like and dislike enough to know whether I'd probably agree with you or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, number three is the one that always makes you smile.
Okay, so when I first read that, I obviously went to, okay, in the ring guy promos. I'm thinking Bugsy McGraw and fucking Handsome Jimmy and George the Animal Steel, shit like that. But really, man, then I started thinking, who is in the wrestling business that no matter what always makes me smile? And that would be the Road Dog, man. In the ring, out of the ring, retired, whatever, wherever he's at, on the phone, through a text, whatever. I always pop for him, man. He's just a funny dude, and I love him to death, and he makes me smile. And he's a
good person. And dude, he's hilarious. And he also is a laugher too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the coolest things that so we've had Road Dogg on. We actually had him for two episodes, part one and part two. Go back in the archives, check out those if you haven't, if you're a new listener, for sure, spotlight on those. And one of the coolest things that you sent to me was you popped him. And I'm a comedian guy. I'm not a Gene Jackson, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle comedian. Yeah. What I mean is I'm a guy that likes to make my friends laugh. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes as you're saying things, you don't really notice that you pop people. And when you said it, I was like, dang, go on, that feels good, man. Because, you know, he's the guy that makes a lot of people laugh. So yeah. to make the guy laugh that makes a lot of people laugh is always good, you know. So, yeah, that's a great one, man. And honestly, his matches make me smile. Smile for sure, you know.
His promos and shit, it was always funny, and you know, just the shit that he had, that make you smile charisma in the ring with the, you know, the wiggle bobby knee drop and the fucking punches and all shit, you know.
I know. It's kind of a little Handsome Jimmy, kind of a little Dusty.
Little Bob Armstrong, baby.
Total. And I was about to say, and a ton of Bob Armstrong, you know. So, you know, that element there. Yeah, Road Dogg's great. Now, I've got to say mine, and the one that always makes me smile. Now, I could say Ric Flair. I could say Bobby Eaton. I could say the Road Boy. I mean, because all these guys made me smile watching their matches. But what I think of is when I watch an interview or listen to an interview, or like you said, you know, watch their matches and watch their style, the one guy that comes to mind that literally always makes me smile is Terry Funk, man.
Yeah.
Without question, even his most serious promos to me make me laugh, because I can see I don't know. There's something about the Funker that you can see through his promos to see that.
It's that delivery and that voice.
I know. And he says Jerry Lawler's had all that work done on his face and he looks like a puffed up asshole.
Hitting the one where he forgot Tojo's name.
The name. What is his name?
You know, that Japanese. Yeah.
And like, even, and so the cool part about it is whenever he would get serious, even though he was getting serious, you would still laugh because the voice, you know, and oh man, my eye. And I mean,
I hated it. And not because I don't know, it was just weird with no crowd. It's kind of like the COVID era before the COVID era. The crowd is too much a part of it for me.
Yeah, I agree. Even visually speaking, not even audio, just visually speaking, it's important too. I agree. But yeah, the match was good, but I agree what you're saying. There was a little something missing with that empty arena deal. But Funker, man, I remember what's funny is I heard an interview with Road Dogg where it was one of the great matches of their career was working Terry Funk and Mankind or Mick Foley, Cactus Jack. And I heard that in an interview that Road Dogg was saying, Terry Funk kept saying, bring it on, but you kept saying harder and stuff. And he said, me and Billy beat the hell out of that old man. And I'm sure working both of those guys, you can absolutely believe what he's saying. So,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Funker and Road Dogg, those are two great opportunities now. Okay, now this one was giving you a little trouble, so we won't, hang you over a ledge on this one. But
yeah, and I just had to clarify. I actually had to text you, and I was like, before we put our list together, and I was like, what the hell is a comfort wrestler? I've heard of comfort foods. So what wrestler do I want to watch while I'm crying and depressed and hogging down a gallon of ice cream? I don't know. I didn't know if that's what it was or not. A comfort wrestler who comforts me when I'm sad.
Sure. And comforts you when you're happy. And it's just like think of them like a warm blanket. I don't know. What I'm saying? It may be that maybe that doesn't help at all. But anyway, number four is your comfort wrestler.
Yeah, so. You kind of said to me also through the text was, somebody that, you don't mind watching like all the time. You could watch it anytime. And okay, so when you said that, then I kind of thought and I was like, okay, Randy Savage was someone that I don't care who he was wrestling, you knew it was going to be a good match. I really don't recall one of his matches being the shits. I mean, fuck, he had to work with George the Animal Steel and pulled it out, the Ultimate Warrior, but then he worked guys that were great, and they were great matches. So I'd say Randy, because he's one of my top four that wanted me to make me be a wrestler. I would say out of that, him, though. I mean, you knew it was going to be a good match. He had the interview and the technical ability. He, to me, had it all.
No doubt. I mean, that's, I think Randy could be the world's comfort wrestler because, and it seems like his promos are getting a new career too. Have you noticed this all over social media? There's people doing them, they're doing the lip sync thing. I don't know what they call it. It's the TikTok style of videos, reels or shorts, and they're doing like the cup of coffee in the big time, that kind of thing. But yeah, his matches, incredible. You could count on them to be great.
Yeah.
And if you fell asleep and you kept watching, in the morning after you woke back up, it would be right there and it's okay. So yeah, I love it. Randy is great. Now mine is a little different, but at the same time, I think you'll understand why. My comfort wrestler is without a doubt the beautiful one, Bobby Eaton. Bobby to me is like watching in the ring. He's like watching a ballerina almost. And I don't mean his style of being a ballerina.
Yeah.
That's more Fandango or somebody like that. But when it comes down to it, Bobby is poetry in motion. That's what I was trying to say. I feel like Bobby was so smooth, so good, so talented, so underrated, so everything. That's what makes him one of the most underrated, yet one of the best wrestlers ever. And I could watch a Bobby Eaton match right now, whether it's a singles match or a Midnight Express match or any kind of Bobby Eaton match, and feel good and be happy. And you know, like if I was sad, I could watch a Bobby Eaton match and be happy. If I were happy, I would watch a match and be more happy and watch it on a continuous loop. Okay. I just recently downloaded the Midnight Express run in Mid-South. And dude, that's some great stuff. Younger guys, and it's with Dennis. Man, it's so good. It's so good. I highly recommend anybody going out of their way to find that. Anyway, long story short, Bobby Eaton is 100% my comfort wrestler. What do you think about that one?
I love the choice. I mean, obviously, I mean, I love Bobby, man. And
yeah,
he gets his credit, but at the same time, he's underrated. As far as when people say Mount Rushmores and all that kind of stuff, you know, I think, because I mean, the people that are most of the time on the list of Mount Rushmores will say Bobby Eaton was the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
As man that everybody considers cream of the crop would say, no, Bobby.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and you're right. I do think he gets his due credit, but I also think when it comes down to it, he's overlooked. And maybe that's what I think of.
Being the Hall of Fame, I mean.
Oh, my God. I thought they were going to do it this year. And
yeah, I've seen the rumors or whatever. Hopefully that will happen for him one day.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. Yeah. Love you, Bobby. Miss you. Rest in peace, brother. Yeah. So, the number five, and you know, this one could have actually been my last one as well, but I did pick a different guy. But Wolfie D, who is the one that you miss the most?
Okay, so there's a lot of people that I miss watching, and you know, just hate the fact that they're still not with us. But people that were close to me as ones I got to go with on this, sure. And I'm sorry, I really can't choose one on this. I miss Josephus. I miss being able to pick up the phone and call him and talk to him.
Yeah.
Same with Steve Dahl and Tracy Smothers. As far as, you know, and I hope I'm not leaving anybody out that I, you know, talk to on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Relationship with where we talked more than not. And those three, man, I miss those guys, man. Just, it's weird, you know, I've had a lot of death around me, you know, there's family, there's nobody left except my kids. And then in the wrestling business, obviously lost a bunch of, I guess you call it coworkers or whatever. But yeah, those three, man, you know, those are people that I pick up the phone and call them and talk to them sometimes. And, you know, just were closer to me than some others, you know?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I can still think about Joe and smile. I can think about Joe and cry. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I can think about Joe in the one reason is I feel like he was destined for so much more than he was able to achieve, you know? But at the same time, he was getting some of his due, and you got to be happy for that too. So, but Joe is absolutely.
He did so much, man. I mean, the man didn't waste much time in his life that he lived.
He did not. He lived every second of it. I do believe. And the moments that he wasn't doing something, he was reading a book, becoming
or preparing. Something.
Yeah. I remember when we were all at Saw together and he brought the whole damn AMC camera crew with him. You know what I mean? It was crazy, dude. I mean, so many things like that were going on for him. So he was not he always had a project he was working on, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I do believe he was one of those guys that absolutely wrung every drop out of the life he lived. So that's good. And that's a little bittersweet, but you know, all those guys are great. Tracy, of course, I didn't get to know Tracy as well. Got to manage him a couple times. always hilarious, but at the same time, never got to really know him as well. I definitely understand the loss, though, of that guy. He was truly a leader in the locker room as well. But, you know, with that being said, I absolutely think your picks are great. The one that, you know, I picked, I have Ken Steele was my mentor. He trained me, brought me in. And by training, I mean, he trained me how to be a manager. He didn't like, we didn't go to like 6 months of, you know, everything like I could have. But, you know, Ken Steele, number one, there's always a chance that it would have been, give me back my pro wrestling with Ken Steele. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And then also, of course, Josephus, love that guy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Joe's so good, you know. And then, of course, the one that I think I miss the most as a pro wrestler, as a fan, though, I've got to go with Roddy Piper, Roddy Piper, man. You know, Roddy Piper, I loved his career. His style was so funny. He was one of those that kind of made me smile, too, but he was also like a little more serious and didn't really have that. But, man, I just always thought of him as, you know, I've learned recently in documentaries and stuff that they've said stuff like he was kind of came in as a manager at first, and he was a color commentator, and he was all these things, but then he eventually got in the ring and became the main villain versus Hogan and all that. But I didn't really realize that at first he was basically a Bob Orton Jr., Paul Wonderful, you know, Paul, Mr. Wonderful Orndorff manager, and it kind of makes sense. But anyway, long story short, Roddy, you know, had a great career, got a lot of things accomplished. You know, it's not as bittersweet that he's gone as other guys, but, you know, just to know that he's no longer here to entertain us with, sometimes his stories weren't always the exact story. Yeah. He could embellish a little, love you, Hot Rod, but he did. And, you know, he could turn a tail, and he was constantly working. And even when Hot Rod was shooting, he was working. He's one of those guys. And that's just those legendary dudes, you know?
That era. Yeah.
It's so funny how when you shoot, you still work. It's just impressive.
Yeah, it's a gift.
It is a gift. And, you know, Ricky Morton's one of those guys that can do that too. But anyway, long story short, that one's Roddy Piper. I definitely miss him, you know, as far as he goes. But Kenny Steele, man, I think you and Ken would have liked, I know he respected you, but I think you would have liked him had you been able to know him. He was a real one, man. So number six, the one you would protect with your whole life. Go ahead, Wolfie D.
Well, this one's going to give me some heat probably, but Mike is not a motherfucker. And the reason I say that is because I don't have anybody really in the wrestling business that is that brotherly close to me. Like my kids and my significant other, I would step in front of a bullet. Okay.
Sure.
But I, you know, as far as wrestlers go and shit like that, I'll fight with you. But if somebody points a gun at you, I'm not stepping in front of it. I'm not. Because my kids need me more than you do.
So right. That
sounds like a very asshole answer. But maybe the wrestling business has jaded me enough to know that there's probably not a lot of people, if there is any, in the wrestling business that would step in front of a bullet for me. So that's my answer.
Yeah, and that's funny, man. I like that, though. I mean, I respect that, and I respect your point of view, especially coming from it, because the way we did this is I'm a fan, you're a wrestler, you know. Yeah. Let's do it from that perspective. So, you know, with that being said, now, again, my answer, and again, your answer was great, but my answer is a little different. Now, here's the reason why. Of course, I'm a fan, but I'm also a good friend, and I'm also one of my best friends. In fact, you know, if we don't text once a day, it's weird. And I will say that the one wrestler that I would absolutely take a bullet for is Wolfie freaking D. Yeah, man. No, it's true. I know my kids need me. I know that. But if we had to pick a wrestler that I'd take a bullet for, other than that, I'm not taking one single bullet for anybody. But when it comes down to it. Now, it's not like I'm saying this to elicit some kind of sympathy and say, well, Wolfie should have picked me. That's not what I mean by this. Because the question is the one wrestler you would protect, and Jimmy's not a wrestler. Now, maybe Wolfie would take a bullet in the thigh for me. Who knows? But
yeah,
when it comes down to it, the wrestler that I would protect with my whole life would have to be Wolfie D.
Well, I appreciate you finding that loophole for me with you not being a wrestler. So we'll go with that as to why I didn't say you. I appreciate that. That never popped into my mind that I could get that loophole, but I appreciate you. And that just shows how much you will take up for me because you just did it right there. Even when I said I wouldn't take a bullet for anyone, you said you'd take it for me and found me a loophole. Thank you, Jim.
that's what I do as the co-host of the Live in Color with Wolfie D podcast. It comes with its benefits. But anyway, long story short, the number seven is the one you're rooting for the most. Now, again, this one you said, you kind of had a caveat. You were like, number two and number seven could be the same.
Yeah.
I think the word that I want to put, since we're fans of past wrestling more, let's put it in the past perspective. Instead of saying the one you're rooting for the most, let's say the one you rooted for the most. And that would come across as your favorite pro wrestler. So, with that being said, number seven, the one you rooted for the most.
Okay. In that context, it would have to be my number one, Road Warriors, my number three or four, excuse me, Randy Savage, you know, but I kind of looked at this in a different direction. The one, it didn't say the person, it didn't say the wrestler, it said the one.
Sure.
So one could be a person, place, or thing. For me, it's a thing. And I am rooting for the wrestling business.
Okay.
Because we talked about this with numerous people, most recently Dr. Tom, and, you know, it does change and evolve, but there's still a formula, and it's going to keep working. And I just hope that it doesn't get so out of hand with some of this stuff. It just has to be harnessed, man. These young cats got some incredible talent and great acrobatics, and fuck, man, they just do some incredible stuff if it can get harnessed and they will listen. But here's my problem is that art imitates life, and right. You know, the right. Way society is today, and the dissension and the splitting of the country, and I'm on this team and I'm on this team, or I can only be in this group of people. And if you don't agree with my group of people, then fuck you and blah, blah, blah. So people in general, excuse me, people in general, in all walks of life, in all careers, all businesses, I think this is happening where there's dissension and people separate and don't want to listen to the people that have come before them and that have lived life and have a bit more common sense and life experience to help you. It's like people take help as a criticism. Constructive criticism is not allowed. You right. cannot think differently than me. And I just, as far as the wrestling business goes, I hope that everybody can come together and because there is a little rift there. We've talked about it before with the old and the new. And I'm not saying everybody, but there is with a lot. And, you know, if that would, if younger people, just in general, younger people would learn back. The biggest thing to me is respect in this world. People don't have respect for each other anymore. There's no such thing as like, just because this is an authority figure, I don't have to listen to him as far as police and teachers and even parents. You know, parents, you used to never want to disappoint your parents. You didn't want to get in trouble. They don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
Because there's no consequences. But anyway, that can lead us off on a whole nother thing. But that's what I'm rooting for is the wrestling business.
Okay. That's a good, I like the perspective on that. And there's actually, you know, I can almost say, well, you know, it scratched my answer. I'm with that one. But being that we didn't double up on anything yet. so that's a great, I'm rooting for the wrestling business too. Absolutely. I like to see the young guys that have a head on their shoulders. The one element that I feel like is more people need to be trained by people like, you know, Dr. Tom Pritchard, and more people need to be trained by people like Ricky Morton and, you know, all that, you know, the consistent thing to me is find somebody who did something. And I don't mean won the regional title, right. Unless, you know, because there's no territories anymore. So that really, you know, the ultimate guy would have been Jerry Lawler in Memphis or your Nashville, whatever. You know, find someone or the closest person or far away. You know, God forbid you give up some comforts to really learn your craft. Find the possibly the closest but the best option for your budget or whatever. But when they say, you know, if you go to them and say, hey, where have you been or what have you done? I'm known locally as a pretty good wrestler, boys. You know, I would go the other way, you know, on that guy.
That's something I want to bring up real quick that just popped into my head when you were saying Jerry Lawler. You know, I don't think that and I could be wrong here, but I do not recall ever hearing anyone say these words. Lawler trained him. I don't think Jerry Lawler's ever trained anyone, which is a little bit shocking and sad in a way because he had so much to give. I just, other than, and he really didn't train Brian.
I was going to ask, yeah.
I mean, he really didn't. I mean, they had their backyard wrestling federation, him, Tony Williams, Kevin Lawler, and him. I think some others, but I think they kind of trained themselves, basically.
And you know what's funny is a lot of, you know, I remember in the business that I was working with in Nashville where I met you and all that, blah, blah, blah. A lot of the guys are like, there's a backyarder, you know, like, but there's some legit dudes that actually never really got proper training and just learned how to do it. And then, you know, I know the Hardys were like that, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I think they paid for some and then it never worked out. And then long story short, they trained themselves. But Brian Christopher is one of the best wrestlers ever for not having a trainer, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, adds Lawler, I mean,
right. It's like,
and everything, but I can't even picture Lawler in a ring on a fucking Sunday or something, teaching a wrestling or even one person, but much less a whole class. I just can't see that even happening. And I don't think it has, and you could say maybe he probably had to help Andy Kaufman a little bit probably, but I'm talking about actually train somebody. I just don't think it's a thing. I don't think it's ever happened.
That's what about
if
Bill?
I'm wrong, I want somebody to call me out on it. But
what about Bill Dundee? Has he ever trained anybody?
Oh yeah, Bill's trained quite a few.
Okay, so Bill has, and we know some of the other greats like Steve Kern, of course, Dr. Tom, all these guys. I mean, you know, there's some, even you have trained some people. I mean, there's some, you know, you had a big hand in the USWA, you know, training, and, you know, there's a lot of guys, but that's interesting. If anyone can come up with somebody that Jerry Lawler trained, put it in the social media, please. Yeah. Send us that because we'd love to hear about it. But even Brian Christopher didn't really happen. Okay, cool. So my number, and so here's the thing. Mine is a little different. It's total Mark. I'm fine with it. It's all good. The one I've rooted for the most all my life is none other than the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Woo! So I loved Ricky Morton. I loved the Road Warriors. Always did, always will, even when I was older. But I can remember when the baby faces weren't as cool to me. And maybe it was when the old nuts dropped or whatever. But when it turned into me liking what the heels were saying more, from that point on, it's always been Ric Flair. Now, the weird part about that is at that point, Rick had been widely accepted as a babyface, basically, at that point. But, you know, to me, consistently from that point on, I loved Hogan. I loved Sting. I loved Ultimate War, whatever. I loved the Road Warriors and Rock and Roll probably more than anybody. I love Macho Man. But honestly, when I look back, I love Macho's heel stuff more.
Yeah.
Like when he was the King Macho Man with Sherry Martel, I love that stuff. When he was early on in Elizabeth, he was really mean to her. But the one guy that I've rooted for more than anything up to his very last match, God bless him, is the Nature Boy Ric Flair. No right. question. So yeah. anyway, yeah.
I mean, I rooted for him, and heck, I wanted to see, you know, obviously on his last match, I wanted to see, I knew what to expect, but, you know.
You wanted to be surprised.
Yeah, but I was rooting for him to not die out there and get over, you know what I mean? And it totally. Did what it was supposed to do, in my opinion. I know a lot of people knocked it, but you had to be there. Sure. And the electricity, as they say, in the air was one of a kind. And I was rooting for him, you know?
Right, so, right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that is it, my friend, for the old seven wrestlers theory. We're going to take us a quick break here. We're going to come back with a little bit of that Ask Wolfie D Anything. You cool with that, brother?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com. That's B-U-I-E Homes.com. Or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we are back, and we're going to do some Ask Wolfie D Anything. DJ, hit the music. Ask Wolfie anything, whoa. 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 All right, we're back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, and Wolfie D, we got some good ones tonight. Are you ready?
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Well, they're interesting. Let's just say okay. that. So,
all right. Let's see.
All right, so our first one is a fun one, and, you know, I think this one is more about the things that came around it. So, basically, Alexander Arce on Facebook, he has the question of how was the run in Puerto Rico? So basically, he knows the Icy Hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows the Icy Hot deal. But
so, yes, Dutch brought us down to Puerto Rico. He called us. It was like in November or something. And for some reason, we were, I honestly don't remember if it was
what angle was going on where it was like, okay, we need a break. And we got the call and it was like, that was cool. Let's go to Puerto Rico. Yeah, we need to do that. Everybody does that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just did it, man. And,
how long was it going to go essentially? Like, well, let me just say this. How was it going up until the point that the Icy Hot happened?
Man, it was going great. And we were getting a good spot and we had a good spot and probably could have stayed as long as we wanted to or come back, you know, but I mean, shit happens, man. And, it's just funny that, I mean, it's kind of funny, I think, in a way. I don't know if anybody understands that. But what I'm saying is, dude, I loved fucking Puerto Rico. It was so fun. Yeah. Puerto Rico was awesome, man. And yeah, that day I made a decision as a young kid that was kind of scared. You know, I got told the stories before I went there. Oh, Puerto Rico, they did this to the Batten brothers. Fuck, Brody got stabbed. And it wasn't that many years after where we went there, you know what I mean? So it was still like, this is kind of weird. So I don't know what to do. And it might have, you know, altered my judgment or whatever. I was a kid. I was scared.
Sure. And again, you were a kid, so you're full of testosterone. You're also, you're maybe not, I mean, we all know you don't make the best decision really before 25. You know what I mean? Or even after 25 in certain cases, for me at least. But you know, when it comes down to it, though, the more important part about the question was, I mean, you were going to the beach. I'm sure you got to go to the beach, be in the sun, experienced some of the fun of Puerto Rico. And I think, you know, Alexander probably.
I almost drowned, too. That's another story. I almost drowned there, man.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
You know how you do the body surfing thing? You know, you get kind of waist deep, maybe a little further, and then the waves are coming in. You jump on them and swim with them, and boom, man! My oldest daughter's mom, we were both out there trying to do that, and man, I got slammed on the ground, like rolled up. Thought I was, and I'm a good swimmer. I've been a swimmer since I was like 3,
right?
And it slammed me on the ground. Pulled my pants off, came up naked, gasping for breath. It was funny, man. And that just made me respect the ocean. And the thing is, you know, this weekend we were in Myrtle Beach and the red flags were up. And I know everybody's seen it on the news where it's rough down there right now. And so I had my son with me and, you know, obviously Michelle's son, which is, they're all our sons, man.
Right.
And, I just kept telling him, I said, don't go out too far. I respect this water too much, man. When I was a kid or when I was, you know, teenage and then 20s, 30s, now I'm going up to my kneecaps these days.
Yeah. Ditto.
You can get me.
Yeah. And that undertow is brutal sometimes, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, man.
Yeah.
It flipped me upside down. I'm not even lying, man. I rode that thing in and then just hit me on the ground and like slammed my head into the ground. And then it pulled me out and I was still flipping. And it makes your direction. You don't know where you are.
Right.
Which way up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hell, I could be in Florida right now. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
So you said you had your girl down there with you. Were you able to bring people in and stay with you? Or did you all come down at the same time and dip at the same time?
I don't know. She just came down there, man. And then we went out in the ocean. It just happened at the same time.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I guess, how long were you down there total?
I'm really not sure. Let's see. I talked to my friend Dave, and we talked about that for quite a while. That was December. We sang that song. Probably, 2 months most. And I think Jamie stayed after.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because my shit hit the fan, and I was like, I got to go.
Peace. Peace. Ain't nobody Brody and me in this.
Nope.
Well, anyway, thanks, Alexander, for the question. I always like talking about Puerto Rico, man. I don't know. You know, one of the stories that most.
I would have loved to have stayed there so much longer. Like I said, I would have loved to have stayed there, but It was just a safety situation for me.
Of course. You never know, man. You never know.
I'm telling you, if you could do a dramatic situation like filmography or whatever the fuck you would call that of that night, when we look out and there's around this arena, you got these dudes in helmets and fucking shields and tactical boots, and they're on all three, I guess the fourth side was the dressing rooms or whatever, so three sides, and you got all these dudes with these helmets, shields, combat boots, boom, you know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
I looked out the dressing room. I was like, what the fuck? And that's when I came back in, and Jamie was like, I'm not going. And, you know, sitting on top of the toilet with his feet tucked in, you know, like, you know, nobody's going to. Michael Myers, you know, he missed that one back in the 80s. And so did Jason. But I'm not sure that these Puerto Rican guys would have missed that in the 90s. That's funny.
Seriously.
I'm not going, Wolfie. And there were some windows right above us, and I thought he was going to climb out. But,
yeah, the ones that roll out. Yeah.
Story before, I don't know if I need to finish telling it all, but wow.
No, and I think the point was he was talking about the run down there. So one of the things I think is, hey, Dark Side of the Ring, give us a holler, you know?
Oh, man.
Give us a holler. Anyway, we could fill an episode for stuff just about Wolfie, right? I mean, come on. Anyway, all right. Well, that's a great question, Alexander. Thank you for that one, brother. I definitely appreciate it. So our next one is from a guy named Cook. So, Wolfie, I've recently been putting a lot of our topic-based episodes on there. You know, of course, we've got our top 10 episodes and all that good stuff. Of course, we've got the top 10 punchers. Of course, you and I unanimously voted Jerry Lawler as the number one puncher of all time. He's asking a question here. He says, what's your take on Billy Travis's punches? Mm-hmm. He always thought he had a good one. What do you think?
Well, that's the key word right there, good one. And when we were talking about the punchers and stuff, and one of my reasons for putting Lawler up there is because he can throw everything, straights, rights, uppercuts, whatever, and lefts and rights and all that. And Billy had one punch, and it looked good, but there was also every time he threw it, pretty much the smack to the shoulder. And it just, I mean, Billy had a great punch. I've took it. I've worked Billy a million times. He's a hell of a worker. He was a hell of a friend to me. And so it has nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, I mean, he had one good looking punch. I'll give him that. But as far as making it to my top 10, my reasonings are different, because we talked about it on that episode of, you know, some people. One punch, they throw good, and that's fine. If you can throw one good, it just kind of lets you know, hey, that they know that this is my punch, and it's going to look like shit if I do it another way. So,
no doubt.
Billy's look good, you know.
I mean, who would you compare it to as far as a punch goes?
Like, punches about like Jeff.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Uppercut. And that, it obviously makes sense, too, because, I mean, they were, you know, a tag team and buddies, stuff like that, and, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah. Well, thank you, Cook, for that question. We definitely appreciate you being active on the YouTube. We're definitely still trying to build that at Live Wolfie D. So keep subscribing, keep following. Mm. So on our next question we've got here is from John Mark Saw. This is an example of growth in social media. This guy's a recent follower of ours at Saw John on Twitter. Last time he said, who was the most careless wrestler you've ever worked? Well, this time he's asking the opposite question, is who was your safest opponent that you loved working?
A lot of the older guys, the first person that pops in my head is going to be Ricky Morton. Ricky will take care of you, and Ricky wants you to take care of him. But that's the same with a lot of the older guys, man. They know how to you know, prolong their careers. Look at Ricky, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going out there being careless, you know, nobody wants to be hurt and not be able to work. So, you know, these cats these days, I feel like they don't care. You know, and you see a lot more injuries now
than
you have in the wrestling business, you know.
Right.
Man, the person that pops in my head is Ricky, hell of a worker. And, yeah, he wanted to go out there and make it look good, but also everybody come back with as little bumps and bruises as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys like Doug, Jerry. I mean, yeah. You got them all, man. Probably yeah. Bill. I mean, yeah. You got all these guys. And Jamie, of course. I'm sure Jamie's safe. You probably haven't worked Jamie in a long time, but with him. Yeah, and yeah. And one thing I do remember about the time that I managed against Ricky Morton, he said, "All right, y'all, just don't hurt me." And that's just, you know, but he's not going to hurt you as well. So that's the, yeah. So, okay, this is kind of an alternate question that Jimmy across the street is adding in there. Okay. So was there ever anyone that was like too safe, almost too like timid? Do you know what I mean?
Timid meaning they were afraid to take bumps. I've seen that. And in that question, I really don't have a name for you because if there was any sure. That they probably didn't last very long, and, sure. And also if they're afraid to hit you, you know, they're so light that I'm not going to sell it if I can't feel it, and I'm going to cut you off and probably lay it in to give you a demonstration of what I'm wanting. You know,
yeah.
And if they were like that, they probably didn't make it very far. But to say that I have worked people where you could tell they were afraid of bumps and shit like that. I tried to do, where I set them up on the turnbuckle and climb up behind them and do the bulldog.
Yeah.
And the son of a bitch, I can't remember who it was, man, but the son of a bitch held on to the top rope and tried to take a bump while his hands were still on the top rope.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it made my move look terrible. That was a finish of the match, and I was kind of pissed about that. But that's being fucking timid.
yeah. Because, I mean, you would kind of do the bulldog. You would sometimes do that spinning power bomb, neck yeah. break, whatever. Anyway, yeah, sometimes. But that bulldog is super pretty, man. The bulldog, I don't know. I think I said it in the favorite moves, but that bulldog's always one of my favorite moves, man. I just love the good look of a bulldog. And again, that's possibly reason John Cena ripped you off, but I'm just kidding. Anyway, but yeah, man, I think that answers that. You know, essentially, the safer opponents are the older guys, and that's a pretty much no-brainer right there. So
yeah,
sure. All right, brother. Well, I tell you what, man, that is all I got for today on the Ask Wolfie Anything. You know, we're coming up on 100, Wolfie D.
So. We are coming up. We hope to have something good for it. And also next week, we if all the stars align correctly, we're going to have another really good one next week that actually kind of fell through on us. And Dr. Tom came through and
right.
Filled in for these guests that we hope to have next week. So we'll
sure.
keep you posted. You'd be looking for the coming soon and all that good stuff. But again, we appreciate you listening. Send us in your list of the 7 wrestler theory that actually has no theory behind it. And like to see what y'all say.
Yeah, we would love to hear your 7 wrestlers on the never ending theory of there no being no theory. So yes. Anyway, well, thanks, Wolfie D. I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all listening. Again, tune in next week. We'll have some more Live and in Color. Wolfie D. We're saying goodbye. Me and Jimmy Screet.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling. Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right. It's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
If you're a fan of rock music, I'd really appreciate it if you took a moment to check out my podcast. It's called the Decibel Geek Podcast. We've been doing it for about 10 years now. We talk about Kiss. We talk about Ozzy. We talk about Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and Metallica. We talk about all the legends from the 60s and on, up to brand new bands that you should be hearing about today that you're not going to hear on the radio. It's Decibel Geek. Wherever you find your podcasts, you'll find us there. If you love rock and roll, I can almost guarantee you're going to love my show.
This is The Big Picture, Michael Jablonski. Don't forget to tune in every week to Jablonski's Pissed Off on the Mike Jablonski's Pissed Off YouTube channel.
The fuck's wrong with this sport? He's going to tell you all about it. He doesn't care what you think. You're gonna hear all about it. Mike Jablonski.
It's a pissed off.
Mike Jablonski.
It's a pissed off.
Mike Jablonski.
It's a pissed off.
He pissed off.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat
he
for
got
your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Plum rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than over one or later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.